through all these little fissures and all these little cracks and creates all these the shaking that is being felt all the time in California. You have the space platforms which are continually beaming at that place.
Now, these are space platforms that are of what origin, could I ask, please?
Well, you have them, many of them are from what you would call the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also your own people working in conjunction with these Russians. So it is a combined activity.
So the Russians and the U.S. are actually combining, is that correct?
They have been working together for many years on many different things. I would divert some of this to Commander Hatton, as his is more the political realm than mine. I try to stay mostly into the science end of things.
Well, what he's really saying is he wants me to take the heat.
Does the buck stop with you, sir?
Well, it usually does, yes, whether I like it or not. But I'll take care of that after we're off the air.
I see, okay. The satellites, the space platform, this is something, of course, that few, if any, have, well, very, very few. Some, of course, have heard about this. We read about this in the Liberator quite regularly.
Well, I want to talk about that, too, because it hasn't been very long ago, within the month, that there was this amazing sighting and this amazing meteorite. You have to remember back, Sam, what I told you once. If you have a shooting silver light, you have a craft or a moving object, usually a craft, because one of your satellites will not appear to be silver and it will not go at great speed. That will be outside your atmosphere.
So the silver is the signal for that particular situation.
Yes, silver blue. If you have an orange tail, something that looks like a comet that goes a great way across your atmosphere, within your atmosphere, because you are now dealing with moving an object rapidly through particulate, and it will glow, it will burn, and you pick up this tail. But when you have something that is, well, you can have meteorites that are copper-based that will burn green. But when you have what was described in that particular incident as a blue light that went from horizon to horizon, you have a man-made beam.
Mm. That's an incredibly large and intense beam, then obviously, if it were to light up the horizon as it did.
At the same time that happened, while many ones were viewing, they heard explosions. All right, one thought, all right, the meteor hit, but no one could find the meteorite. What was happening was that tremendous speed, of course, breaking the sound barrier, as only a pulse wave can do. Much louder, much more impact than any sonic boom that you can create. On the other hand, along with that, your idiot shot down one of the Russian Cosmosphere platforms. It was also seen entering the atmosphere, and it did crash. And you have had tit for tat ever since.
So have the Russians shot down our space platforms?
No, they've been taking out your C-31s and things.
So this...
You see, the game is according to the importance of whatever is being done and where they can make the most impact and say, aha, I'm still here. Don't play games with me. So some of the retaliations and the incredible activity in the skies over West Virginia are the results of that.
Can you give us an idea of the number of space platforms up there?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands.
Oh. And each one of these is manned?
Not all of them, no.
So some are remotely controlled and able to direct beings at the Earth to do whatever it is that they're designed to do.
Absolutely, and some of them are robotic satellite types of systems. And actually, I should correct that. There are hundreds of platforms. There are thousands of cosmospheres.
What's the difference?
One is could be a stationary platform servicing many smaller craft or many cosmospheres. They would be like a space station. And they are also, they have the capability of being stationed in orbit or just moving with you, which would be a stationary platform focused on a given thing. There are several of them lined up along your San Andreas Fault, for instance. That's just an example.
And these platforms, then, that are there.
Yes. And they will service cosmospheres and smaller little craft.
Of course, in the news, I think just this morning or yesterday morning, there was an item to the effect that Clinton, I think, has directed NASA to ease off on the space platform. They can't afford the space platform, so they are telling us.
Yes, well, they've been ordered to back off that.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we actually have a space platform ourselves, or is this...
No, you do not. You do not have a good functional space system.
All right, but we do have these cosmospheres.
Well, you have now the capability of working either with the Russians, depending on what you are doing, or you will have craft now that can move out, let us say, as far as the moon, but you don't have any usable craft to get outside your atmosphere at all. Basically, your space program is totally controlled.
Okay. We do have to take a break right here one more time in this hour, and so we will be right back with Commander Hatton and Commander Soltek. Your special guest, Commander Hatton and Commander Soltek. And I would like to, go to a question now. A question has been called in regarding the mirror that was able to redirect sunlight into a concentrated area, causing, what is the implication of it, I guess, is the real question here. What is the implication of being able to concentrate sunlight as this Russian effort is apparently able to do?
It's a farce.
A farce?
That's not what they're doing at all. They say that's what they're doing, and yes, they would be able to pinpoint or focus sunlight, but the facts are what they are doing is taking the solar energy or the sun rays, if you will, and turning them right back into a solar beam. And that will be able to be pinpointed just like a laser light.
And so they'll be able to destroy different things?
Yes. They will tell you that they're going to help create more sunlight, etc. No, they're not going to do that. It's weaponry, really.
So do they need, is this an improvement over the laser beams, different beam weapons that they have right now?
Well, it's just a little bit more advanced technology. I don't know that they're really going to be any better, but certainly a lot wider capacity for striking.
I see. So that would be the effect of the mirror, then. It increases the destructive capabilities, haven't
it? Oh, yes. It's going to be exactly like photovoltaic cells or mirrors for collecting and intensifying, focusing. It would be very similar to running light through a magnifying glass, where you can intensify a light beam and start a fire, for instance. Mirrors are very, very effective.
So they would be able to use this device with great accuracy to, if they wanted to take out a city, they could heat up a city or a portion of a city then.
Right on, yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Okay. Another question has to do with the satellite that was sent to Jupiter. And the question has to do with the reason for that particular attempt and what is the status of it right now?
Well, that's a lie, too. You see, Jupiter is far enough out that you are reaching out toward the edge, pushing the envelope, if you will. And a very good phrase was brought back to mind just this day. And that is, with this space program and all these probes you're sending out there, you're pushing the envelope just as Mr. Clinton is pushing the envelope politically, only to find that on the other edge of the envelope, it pushes back. And Jupiter is a blue planet. It would house life. And, of course, it needs to be investigated because it goes along with the actual creation of Earth and how your planetary system was basically structured in its beginning. And someone's before on your program, Sam, have mentioned various authors that have written on that subject, and some excellent work has been done.
Okay, very good. Let's see. I wanted to, in the time remaining in this hour, touch on one more effect having to do with the ramifications of the Earth changes. And this has to do with the situation of drinking water, that contaminants and so forth are being pushed out of their normal channels and into drinking water, creating terrific problems. Could you address that, or would Commander Soltec be appropriate for that?
Well, I would bow to him. I can respond to it. He did a very very good teaching lesson, which was maybe 3 months back, 3-4 months back. Time doesn't mean much to me, so I lose track of it.
Yeah, I do too.
On groundwater and potable water and its contaminations and how it becomes contaminated, you're going to find that more and more contamination will come forth, and you're going to end up with more and more radioactivity being found in your water. Now, that won't show, you see. They're not going to tell you about that at all. And in your contamination system, viruses are not even checked for. Maybe once a month they are required to look, and if you have two viruses in a given little bit of water, then that might be considered as dangerous. Usually the water companies are just keeping it silent, and to avoid any confrontation, they just don't test for it. Now, you're going to find that there are a couple of ways to get control of your own drinking water to begin to reduce possible pollutants and viruses. And I'm a little bit at a loss to be able to talk about these things because sometimes it is considered scientific medicine or some other forbidden thing. But you can literally purify your water with 7 drops per gallon of food-grade hydrogen peroxide. That's 35% hydrogen peroxide.
The 7 drops will do that.
Yes, and all you will note in a gallon of water is that it tastes a little bit more like spring water. It may have just a little hint of a musky taste. Now, to that, you can add a tablespoon of Gondriana, for instance, which is basically the Gondriana, as the DNA genetic structure will blast any viruses out of that water and literally consume the debris left. They move at a very, very high frequency, and therefore they thrive in what we would call irradiated water. You know, with small amounts of toxic pollution, literally little Gondriana operate better because their frequency of life itself is higher.
Excellent. We will move into that more in the second hour. We have gone through a very fast first hour of Open Mind with Commander Hetzon and Commander Soltek, and we will be back after the NBC News for hour number two of Open Mind. I hope we can move into some of the political implications of things going on, among others. Thanks. And we will be right back after this news. This is KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. Mr. Bob Hope. For number two of Open Mind for this evening, I am Sam Russell. Thank you very much for being there. Outside is Dee Riley giving up her Saturday night to be here to produce. And on the line, very special guest, Commander Hetzon. And on the other line, a very special guest indeed, Commander Soltek, whom we have not heard from before, and we're very pleased that Commander Soltek is able to be with us as well. We have some questions that have been telephoned in, and so let me get to those. Let's see. One question here related to some of the things that we have been talking about before is, what geological changes are likely to occur in Utah? And will northwestern Wyoming be safe from these changes that are projected? This may be one for Commander Soltek.
Well, as I have said, it is very difficult to make what you would call predictions. The probabilities, on the other hand, indicate at this time that northwestern Wyoming is probably not one of the better places to be because of all the activity that is going to be taking place in that area. You have a lot of earthquake faults there, and you're going to begin to see more of the volcanic activity to the west of that area, and it is going to build and build until it finally erupts. So it, at this stage of the game, it looks as though that part of that state of Wyoming may not be a real safe area to be in. Utah, you have an area known as the Wasatch, I believe you call it.
Right, the Wasatch Mountains, which front along, well, actually Salt Lake City is built right along the base of the Wasatch Mountains here.
Yeah. And you have to the west of there what you call the Great Basin.
Mm-hmm.
And these Wasatch Mountains all are also of volcanic origin. And they are, in at this point, you're going to begin to notice you have seen a little bit more of the earthquake activity there as well. So this is all part of that change that is taking place. So there is probably going to be more seismic activity in that area, and again, at this point in time, I don't see too much involved in volcanoes as an imminent problem, although with the pressures that build, you always have that as a possibility. But at this point in time, I don't see it as a problem, you know, an imminent danger.
All right. Let me add one more part of the country that might be of interest, and this is the Four Corners part of the country. What do you foresee in that particular area?
When you say the Four Corners, are you speaking then of the Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. This is all part of, most of this was at one time an undersea area. And you can tell this if you go up and take a look at all the mountains and the land up there. It is all, you can see the water lines that are on the mesas. As you go up the sides of what they call the mesas, the flat plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all underwater at one time. This whole area is riddled with faults and fissures. So again, I'm saying that it's not, I wouldn't say that it's, you know, a terribly dangerous place, but any place in your western United States is going to be shook.
Yeah. Now some of the projected maps, one of the psychics, which has gone extensively into predicting the nature and extent of Earth changes, has come up with a map which indicates that the Pacific Ocean is likely to encroach into the Rocky Mountain area, eastward into the Rocky Mountain area, but not quite as far as Denver, according to this one projection. Is it seen that the area, like from Denver eastward, might be fairly safe, or is that something that's discernible at this time?
Well, again, at this point in time, it is somewhat discernible, as there are so many things that are occurring. The more thinking that you have taking place, the more pressure that is building. It echoes through your underground, and it travels along all the fissures and all the cracks and the fractures that are already there. And as it shakes more and more, then you also have new fissures and fractures that are opening up. And as your plate moves as well, this again causes additional stresses. And so this will in turn create new cracks and new fissures. So you have the already shaking taking place, you have the movement of the plate, and this just adds to the problem. Now, California, if this should, if San Andreas should be taken out, if you will, if it should go and experience the big one, chances are that a great portion of this is going to crumble off or just slip basically into the ocean. And as that happens, then you will have tidal waves. And these tidal waves, in some cases, are 100 feet high. Now, as this comes over, it is going to flood the area that is left. But it will, you have more possibility of other earthquakes taking place, and yet more land breaking off as the major break off in the beginning will then, in turn, weaken what is left. So you have a series of events. We're not saying that it would necessarily take place in one state. It wouldn't be like, you know, you'd have one great big earthquake and then the whole thing is over. It does not work this way. It happens through stages. Because one thing will then again precipitate another and precipitate another and on down the line. Until that finally levels out again, and then the activity would subside somewhat.
Sam?
Yes, uh-huh.
May I interject here? I recall that I was on the air along about the time of the multiple landers quakes in California, and we remarked at that time that it was felt all the way to Phoenix. There were also, if you recall, at the same time earthquakes around your St. George Cedar City area?
Yes, we had one particularly large earthquake down there, plus some others, yes.
All right, you're going to find that a fissure has been opened up, not to the surface, but could very well split open, running all the way across the state. If that happens, you're going to have an inpouring of water. On the other hand, from tidal wave activity coming in from the northern areas of Washington, Oregon, etc., and across possibly all the way to Nebraska, you could have water. And you know from the geography and the physical arrangement of the basin there in the Salt Lake area, you could very well have the old Bonneville Lake fill up. It was once a sea, you know.
That's correct. Yes, it was.
And it was bordered on one side by what you now, I believe, call the Ochre Mountain.
Right.
And on around, and of course, the Wasatch on one side. So you have the possibility in that area of water being funneled through crevices, or that's not what I want, low spots where the mountain ranges intersect, where you will have valleys. You could have flooding from that direction of the north.
So this particular area might eventually not be a very desirable area then.
No, but son, what you're looking at is what is.
Huh.
Where is?
Yes, I would like to also interrupt you just a moment. From the western area, you have faults that also run east and west. You don't have those that just are running north and south. They're in the California area. You have them that run also east and west. I believe you call them something like transverse faults or something of this nature. And they will intersect with the major faults that are over in the California area. And if you have a major activity on one of those fault lines in California, it tends to resonate or echo through these other east-west running faults. Then that will also in turn intersect with the other faults running. Wherever you have mountain ranges, you're going to find that you have a series of major fault areas, because this is how the mountains were formed in the first place. So this is way below the surface. If these east-west faults then would intersect with some of these other north-south faults in your Rocky Mountain area. And this is part of what is happening also. The activity that is occurring in California, that energy, the pressure, the waves of movement are echoed through and transmitted through these other faults. So then you have the seismic activity in other areas. So something that happens maybe 500 miles away could then affect another area.
And it is also said, too, that there is the potential for substantial earthquake activity to the east. The New Madrid Fault, I think they call it, that extends out through the Midwest and, I guess, into the south, is an area of, I guess, rather highly potential earthquake activity.
It is very highly potential, and it has been a very long time since they've had a major earthquake there. So you have all these pressures that have built. Now, the longer you go without any pressure being released, the more it is building and the greater the pressure. It is like when you would use a pressure cooker. After so long, it's going to blow. And when it does, you're going to have a mess. Well, you can look at the same type of situation on these fault lines. And with the New Madrid, it has been a while, so the pressures are building quite tremendously. And when that goes, that is going to create a great divide. And you're going to have the Mississippi River is going to open up, and more of the Gulf is going to flow in there as well as part of the Great Lakes entering in through that river. And this could then, in turn, flood that entire area. You also have to understand that in this area, you have many, many, many underground caverns. There's a whole series of caves and caverns in that area, so the underneath is basically hollow. So if you get a lot of activity, this is just going to collapse. This is already lowland as it is, so it will just invite the water to spill in.
Well, it's fascinating. We can spend a lot of time with that. Time is running out. I would like to move into some of the political aspects of things because many of our questions now that are on the board here relate to that side of things. Well, we're about 31 or 2 days into the Clinton administration's matter, Anton. What are you foreseeing? What are you seeing and foreseeing with respect to what Mr. Clinton is doing?
Total disaster. Just like I foresaw before he got there. You noticed that Mr. Clinton denied that he was going to... Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right. It became very silent on the line. Mr. Clinton, before he was inaugurated, told you how it was going to be. He said that he had been lied to, the debt was higher, all of these problems, that he would not be able to keep his word. And he has kept that word. He's not keeping any word. You have a monarchy which has developed here. They're both puppets. Puppets on a string, mind you. But Mr. Clinton and his wife basically are number one and number two. And Mr. Gore comes in a pretty sad number three. They are set up, and I believe that the plans of the elite are to effort to keep them, quote, puppet heads. You know, you can watch him running around on his little track and doing these cute little things while he pushes Congress He's going to get some of the things enacted that he wants. There will be great show of struggle, but you're going to pick up so many distractors, for instance, in Los Angeles right at this very minute, that you will fail to notice much longer what is going on in Washington. You see, they are gearing for total war in Los Angeles. There's nothing else to call it. You can call it preparation against riot if you like. But let me give you a little bit of a picture of what is going on in the Los Angeles area during this King trial.
Right. This does relate to one of the questions on the board, what's going to happen